The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Bill Price. The virus fight intensifies.
Rough week. We're going to have maybe a rough little more than a week, but there's tremendous light at the end of that tunnel.
And that is where we're going to start this noon hour as coronavirus cases and deaths continue to rise across the country. President Trump says there is hope, and it may come sooner than you think.
There's so many things happening with therapeutics, with vaccines, with things that we really want.
In New York, the epicenter of the virus in the U.S., Governor Cuomo says deaths and hospitalizations are going down, but they're not out of the woods. Not yet, anyway.
Numbers that look like they may be turning. Yay, it's over. No, it's not.
The governor says social distancing must continue. Fines for those violating the order have now been raised to $1,000. Schools and non-essential businesses in New York closed through April 29th.
We underestimate this virus at our own peril. We learned that lesson. Now is not the time to slack off on what we're doing.
And as the COVID-19 peak approaches, the nation's top infectious disease expert says life will not truly get back to normal until a vaccine is developed. Dr. Anthony Fauci sits on the president's coronavirus task force.
I don't think that's going to happen until we do have a situation where you can completely protect the population.
I think we can get more than back to normal from an economic standpoint. Actually be better.
President Trump says with the stimulus package about to be delivered to the American people, the economy is poised for a rebound as soon as this crisis is over. The hospital ship Comfort in New York City has its first COVID-19 patient. Reporter Riley Carlson has more.
A crew member on the Navy ship Comfort has tested positive for COVID-19 days after docking in New York. The Navy said it will not affect the hospital ship's mission. The news comes hours after President Trump authorized the Comfort to treat people with the coronavirus.
Hopefully that will be very helpful to both states.
The Comfort was meant to take on other patients, but the governors of New Jersey and New York said they needed the bed.
Riley Carlson reporting from Lower Manhattan this afternoon. A few miles away at a field hospital in Central Park, nurse Shelley Kelly has been working round the clock.
I'm kind of feeling like nothing I can do is enough for these patients here. At one point, we had 8 ambulances lined up at the hospital to drop patients off.
But the nation's largest city could be the first city to get over the COVID-19 hump. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams.
We know that everyone's going to be on a different curve. So this is the first glimmer of hope for New York, New Jersey, and we hope that the trend continues, but it's going to mean that everyone has to keep doing their part.
Earlier this week, Adams said this week would be our Pearl Harbor and 9/11 moment in the U.S. Adams says models used for tracking the coronavirus continually change. And the nation is ramping up its testing.
We are going to be at 2 million tests this week, and it's rapidly ramping up with the commercial industry coming on board.
Adams says companies like Walgreens will start expanding drive-through testing in 7 states with results available in a matter of minutes. COVID-19 appears to be disproportionately affecting African Americans in Louisiana, accounting for more than 70% of the deaths there. The numbers also high in Michigan. And in Chicago, black residents represent 72% of the deaths, but just 30% of the population.
Those numbers take your breath away.
That's Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
The distribution of this disease tells a story about resources and inequality.
While there are no official statistics that show the virus's toll by demographics, health officials believe African Americans have higher rates of underlying health issues like diabetes and asthma. That could explain the higher death rates from COVID-19. One age group the virus doesn't appear to be affecting is children.
They looked from February to April at over 100,000 cases in the United States, and they found that less than 2% of those were in a pediatric population. The median age affected was about 11, and in fact, similar to the data in China, there were less hospitalizations in children.
Dr. Tara Narula is an assistant professor of cardiovascular medicine at Hofstra University. Police checkpoints have gone up along the Texas-Louisiana border. Reporter Janet Shanlian is there.
Along Interstate 10, drivers are being diverted off the highway as they come into Texas. They line up here, and as they get to the front of the line, they're being questioned by state troopers about where they plan to spend the next 14 days in self-quarantine as mandated by the governor. There are now checkpoints like this one at all major crossings between Louisiana and Texas. It's part of an effort to stop the spread of the coronavirus because, as we know, cases in Louisiana are spiking, most of them in the New Orleans area.
That's Janet Shanlian reporting. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains in intensive care nearly 2 weeks after he announced he was infected with coronavirus. Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab now in charge.
In light of those circumstances, the Prime Minister asked me as First Secretary to deputize for him where necessary in driving forward the government's plans to defeat coronavirus.
President Trump sending his thoughts and prayers to his British counterpart.
Americans are all praying for his recovery. He's been a really good friend. He's been really something very special, strong, resolute, doesn't quit, doesn't give up.
Boris Johnson's fiance also battling COVID-19. Some harsh remarks about a fired Navy skipper are followed by an apology from the acting Naval Secretary. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has the latest on the USS Theodore Roosevelt saga.
Acting Secretary Moodley had told the crew their captain was either naive or stupid not to have known his memo about a coronavirus outbreak on the carrier would be leaked.
What your captain did was very, very wrong in a moment when we expected him to be the calming force on a turbulent sea.
Moodley late yesterday apologized for these remarks, calling Captain Brett Crozier smart and passionate. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, meanwhile, says he no longer has confidence in Moodley and he should be removed.
Cammy McCormick reporting from the Pentagon. President Trump saying last night he's looking into the situation. Wisconsin's presidential primary going on as scheduled today, and Joe Biden picking up a new endorsement from civil rights icon and Georgia Congressman John Lewis.
I know Joe Biden as a man of character and dignity, a man who cannot and will not rest when he sees injustice.
In the video endorsement released today, Lewis says Biden's leadership is needed now, more than ever. Still to come this Tuesday, enforcing social distancing. Trout season underway, dairy farmers going under, and golf still going.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a change in the weather pattern to include maybe some thunderstorms tonight. I'll be back with your complete forecast coming up in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, April 7th, with the COVID-19 peak approaching, the governors of both New York and PA calling on residents to strictly follow social distancing guidelines. Governor Cuomo says now is not the time to slack off.
One of the reasons the rate of infection is going down is because social distancing is working. We have to continue the social distancing.
We need to continue social distancing. We need to do as much as we can to support our health care systems throughout the Commonwealth.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf says the state can get over the COVID-19 hump much quicker if everyone continues to stay away from one another.
The surge is coming. And the when and how bad that surge is really depends on all of us, what we do.
Schools and non-essential businesses have been shut down indefinitely in Pennsylvania. In New York, they're closed through the end of the month. At today's press briefing in Albany, Governor Cuomo says hospitalizations for the virus starting to plateau.
This is not an act of God that we're looking at. It's an act of what society actually does.
Despite the good news, the governor says yesterday was the largest single day for deaths for COVID-19 in New York State. The New York State Board of Education giving school districts more guidance after yesterday's decision to cancel June's Regents exams because of this pandemic. Some of those guidelines include a one-year federal waiver. That waiver will allow the Board of Regents to assess school and district performance using last year's data. instead of this year's. Local law enforcement officials say they'll be cracking down on folks who are not following social distancing guidelines.
Still legal to go outside, just maintain those social distancing of six feet or more. And get out and enjoy the nice weather. I don't expect people to stay cooped up in their houses the whole time. Just don't congregate in large groups.
Brighton, New York Police Chief David Cathaldi, Monroe County Executive Adam Bellow says an online tracker for cell phone activity shows more folks in the Rochester region leaving their homes lately. That could be a sign of folks slacking off when it comes to social distancing.
We have worked with the Sheriff's Department on a two-phase approach. Right now we're in phase one, which is an education phase, which is to, if you see large groups gathering in parks and outdoor setting, is to engage law enforcement who will provide education and try to disperse.
Bellow says if folks continue to ignore the social distancing rules, parks will be closed and fines will be given.
I hope it doesn't come to that, but we are putting the plans in place for that to make that enforcement available.
Yesterday, Governor Cuomo raised the maximum fine for violating social distancing rules from $500 to $1,000. Today, Erie County, New York District Attorney John Flynn announced that 17 inmates with 45 days or less remaining on their sentences will be released early from Erie County jails. The move, an effort to reduce inmate populations and combat the spread of COVID-19. The virus impacting dairy farms across New York and Pennsylvania.
With schools closing, with the restaurants shutting down, with coffee shops closing, institutions like universities no longer purchasing large quantities of milk and dairy products, that has been a big disruption in the market, and that has driven overall demand down.
Steve Ammerman is with the New York State Farm Bureau. He says with demand down, a lot of dairy farmers are being forced to dump their milk.
Have a huge loss in demand in one sector that, you know, still creates a supply issue because there is a lot of milk still to be had, and that's forced milk prices down overall. And that's really the source of the problem.
Photos of farmers dumping their milk now being posted all over social media. The experts say farming was tough enough before COVID-19. Now it's nearly impossible. A lot of businesses closed in New York. Golf courses are not.
We're really being conscious of social distancing and just following all guidelines.
Bobby Gerlich at Belden Hill Golf Club in Colesville, New York, says while his business may not be essential, it is important for a lot of folks during these tough times.
I mean, people are really embracing the opportunity to be outside on a golf course. The importance right now is to give people, you know, an opportunity to escape where they're outside, they're breathing the fresh air, and we've been busy.
Gerlich says they're making sure everything is sanitized and workers at the course taking extra precautions too. He says it's important to have activities like golf to help folks cope with COVID-19. Hundreds of thousands of new unemployment claims have been filed in Pennsylvania since this outbreak began. Family Life's Brandon Dixon takes a closer look.
The state exceeded 283,000 jobless claims last week, which is actually a 30% drop from the week prior's all-time high. However, those latest figures push PA past 1 million claims since the coronavirus began. That's about one-sixth of the Commonwealth's workforce. Meanwhile, about 4,500 employees of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board will join another roughly 9,000 state employees who are going on unpaid leave. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. And as the ranks of the unemployed continue to swell in Pennsylvania, county assistance offices are still being staffed with workers processing benefits all across the state. Family Life's Terry Diener continues.
Though the offices are closed to the public, those workers classified as essential must show up because the state lacks the necessary technology and other measures to allow them to work from home. A spokesperson for the Department of Human Services said the agency is trying to expand resources to facilitate telework for those employees, with 94 telecommuting on a trial basis this week. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. PennDOT reopening some rest areas across the Commonwealth amid the coronavirus pandemic. Those areas were temporarily closed on March 17th. 28 select areas have since reopened since the shutdown. Trout season officially got underway today in PA. Officials say properly licensed anglers can start harvesting trout, but they got to follow those social distancing rules. Let's pause for sports. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Thank you, brother. The greatest of a decade. The NFL and Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the 2010s All-Decade Team. 52 players, two coaches earning the honor. Quarterback Tom Brady, one of eight players, unanimously voted to the team. Brady topped all quarterbacks during the decade with 138 wins, including the playoffs, and led the Patriots to Super Bowl titles in 2014, 16, and 18. Aaron Rodgers, the other quarterback on the team, beating out NFL career passing leader Drew Brees. Adrian Peterson, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Joe Thomas, Marshall Yanda, and Justin Tucker, the other unanimous selections. The NFL unlikely to extend its video review policy for pass interference, according to NFL.com. The news comes weeks before the league's competitive committee is set to have its annual late May meeting, which remains on schedule despite the effects of the pandemic. Major League Baseball and the Players Association considering having all 30 teams play in the Phoenix area in empty ballparks to start the 2020 season. There's still many obstacles to overcome, but the thought is with 10 spring training ballparks plus the Diamondbacks Chase Field all within 50 miles of one another, Major League Baseball will be able to host multiple games in a day and teams not having to travel as much. All of Chicago's professional sports teams partnering with Mayor Lightfoot to combat the spread of coronavirus, saying don't go outside to play.
Thanks to their support, we'll be leveraging their vast network to drill down on the message of stay home and save lives.
The Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, Fire, Red Star, Sky, and White Sox have joined the We Are Not Playing campaign. The initiative rolled out yesterday with digital and social advertisements. And 17 years ago today, a baby-faced freshman, Carmelo Anthony, in the Syracuse Orange in New Orleans.
Heinrich puts up the shot. It's too long.
Beating Kansas for the national championship. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Seems like yesterday that happened. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, the fight intensifies, the latest on the pandemic, plus signs of hope in Jamestown. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, the cardboard crowd at a wedding in Michigan.
And yet another week attending church online. If something seems off to you about this, it should. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, a pastor at a megachurch in Tampa, Florida, was arrested for holding services in defiance of a ban on public gatherings. The very idea of the government arresting a pastor for holding worship services in America, well, it raised plenty of red flags. However, and I do say this as someone who spends a lot of time raising alarm about religious freedom issues, in the face of this global pandemic that's now hitting the United States particularly hard, temporarily suspending church services is not only justifiable, it's wise. And it's a very real and tangible way to love our neighbors. There's historical precedent for what the government is asking of us and what churches are doing. During the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak, for example, state governments closed churches, schools, theaters, and other public gatherings to slow the spread of the disease. By all indications, it really helped. Once the pandemic passed, churches reopened their doors. And back in the 1600s, Puritan theologian Richard Baxter wrote in his church directory, if the magistrate, for a greater good, such as the common safety, forbid church assemblies in time of pestilence, it is a duty to obey him, he wrote. Baxter based his case on nothing less than the words of Jesus himself. Just as the Lord had insisted in Matthew 12 that healing on the Sabbath is lawful, Baxter argued, preventing the spread of serious sickness to our most vulnerable on the Sabbath is also lawful. After all, as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Of course, none of this makes being stuck at home on Sundays any easier, especially during Holy Week. Nor should it. Being unable to gather with God's people to worship, to read and hear the Word together, and to partake of the sacraments is a real and profound loss. My church, like so many others, probably yours, has moved services online, taking advantage of technologies that weren't even available until quite recently in church history. That we can still meet online isn't enough, but it's still a gift for which we should be thankful. Even so, it's not the same. Our thankfulness for these very good things, such as online services, home worship, and listening to sermons on podcasts, should contain more than a hint of disappointment, too. They simply are just not adequate replacements for what the life of the church should be. Not to mention, there are simply no substitutes for the sacraments of baptism and communion. In fact, if we're not feeling a serious loss right now, we should be worried. If remote services on a laptop feel normal, then church has become nothing more to us than a spectator activity. And we've become, well, spectators of worship rather than worshipers. Jesus, who is God in flesh, saved us into a larger corporate body, which he will one day make fully into his bride. We can no more permanently carry on our Christian relationships with God and the church over an internet connection than spouses could carry on a marriage that way. And this is the difference between doing church and being the church. While we are unable to meet for worship, the hunger for something more is a sign of spiritual life. We should encourage that hunger and certainly look forward to coming back together again. To do so, especially in the midst of the current threats of death and disease, is to ultimately be a sign to the world and to each other of that day when Christ will fully bridge all the distance between himself and his bride, when he heals all sickness, finally restoring all things and making his dwelling with his people. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stonestreet.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a nice day today, we're going to be dealing with some showers and thunderstorms tonight. This as the disturbance moves fairly quickly through the area. In its wake, skies will stay cloudy, but any showers will diminish tomorrow. A cold front will arrive Thursday with wind-whipped showers, and that's the pattern flipper, delivering some chilly air for Easter weekend and beyond. The call for this afternoon, sunshine mixing with clouds. There could be a stray shower or thunder shower in parts of northwest Pennsylvania before the afternoon is through. High temperatures 50s and low 60s, and cloudy tonight with showers and a few thunderstorms. Low temperatures 40s to near 50. Tomorrow, showers end early, rather cloudy, high temps 50s and low 60s. Thursday, cloudy, windy with showers, snowflakes mixing in western New York as temperatures fall through the 40s.
Don't say snow. Thank you, Kevin. If you're just joining us, here is the very latest on the COVID-19 crisis for Tuesday, April 7th. The pandemic curve appears to be flattening at the epicenter, with New York and New Jersey reporting fewer hospitalizations. Surgeon General Jerome Adams says now is not the time, however, to let up on your social distancing.
It tells us mitigation is working. It tells us what the American people are doing by staying at home, by social distancing, by practicing good hygiene, and the 30-day guidelines for America are actually effective, and they will help us get through to the other side of this unfortunate tragedy.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo extending stay-at-home orders through April 29th. As for school in the Empire State, that'll be done from home for a little while longer, too. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that all schools in the state will stay closed until April 29th as the state battles the coronavirus pandemic. The closure will also extend to non-essential businesses. Another big change for students, the State Department of Education has canceled readings exams for this school year. Students are usually required to pass those exams to graduate high school. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. A hospital ship docked in New York has its first case of COVID-19. The naval ship Comfort now admitting coronavirus patients at the request of the governors from New York and New Jersey. That ship was originally supposed to just treat non-COVID-19 patients in order to free up space at other hospitals. But officials say the healthcare system in the entire tri-state area stretched to the max. This EMS worker says he got an emotional reaction when he brought in emergency staffing at an overwhelmed hospital in New Jersey.
There were tears in their eyes, and easily to see because of all you're showing when you're with full protection or your eyes.
In other hot zones like Illinois, more than 1,000 new cases of COVID-19 popping up in a single day. And at the Texas-Louisiana border, police checkpoints have gone up as authorities screen travelers after a spike in new cases in New Orleans. Overseas, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson in the ICU after contracting COVID-19 11 days ago. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
His aides say Boris Johnson was moved to intensive care just in case he needs a ventilator. ICU Dr. Ron Daniel says, Prime Minister or no, with London's critical care units overwhelmed by the pandemic.
I would find it surprising if they'd taken this decision lightly.
Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab, in charge in Johnson's absence, insisting Britain's battle against the pandemic will not be affected.
Vicky Barker reporting the polls open for Wisconsin's presidential primary despite concerns about safety at polling sites. Republican state lawmaker Rob Swearingen.
I do understand, you know, everybody's health risk, but I'm also sure that the precautions should be good to keep people safe.
Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden, meantime, picking up the endorsement today from civil rights icon and Georgia Congressman John Lewis.
Vice President Joe Biden has never stopped speaking up for his fellow man. Joe Biden and I both believe that we are in a fight to redeem the soul of America.
That online video posted today, White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham leaving her post after never holding a single formal press briefing. Grisham will be assuming a new role as chief of staff to the First Lady Melania Trump. She had continued to represent the First Lady while also holding the titles of press secretary and White House communications director since June of last year. Coming up on 26 minutes past the hour, Tuesday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, 9-year-old Taylin Kendall from Kennedy, New York. She's been visiting nursing homes in Jamestown, carrying signs of joy during these troubling times. The reaction from the residents inside the home, you had to obviously stay outside and do this outside the window for their own protection and your protection. What was their reaction like?
Most of them were, like, excited. Really, all of them were excited and smiling because they were like, yay, somebody's out there. Somebody's there that we don't know. They were just happy.
Now, how did it make you feel to do something like this?
I was happy, too, because when I saw them smile and they be happy.
Do you have someone you know in those nursing homes?
No.
You just decided that you wanted to put a smile on someone's face.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Taylin Kendall from Kennedy, New York. And she's a 9-year-old girl, goes to some nursing homes in the Jamestown area with a sign, stands outside their windows during this coronavirus pandemic and making senior citizens smile. How are you coping with this health crisis yourself, Taylin? You getting kind of sick of being stuck at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, though this is a neat way to kind of get outside and do something good. You're doing okay yourself through this health crisis?
Yeah.
Now, do you plan on continuing doing this, going to the nursing home and holding up your sign? Is this something you want to keep doing?
Yes. Definitely.
Well, share with our listeners, because I understand some of these signs you're holding up, they have jokes on them?
Yes, they have jokes, and then there was a big board that said my name and, like, good morning, I'm going to be telling jokes.
So the sign said, good morning, I'm going to tell some jokes?
Yeah, and my name.
What were some of the jokes?
It was, how do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. Then there was another one, what do you call an alligator when you put a vest on it? Investigator. And then the last one that we done was, what type of shoe does a frog wear? Open-toed.
Yeah, good. You're a funny girl, Taylin. Now, do you go out by yourself? You take your dog with you, I understand?
I take my dog with me, and my mom goes with me, because I can't drive by myself anyway. So.
No, you better not be driving by yourself. Well, that's very cool, Taylin. Do you miss school?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet. You driving your folks crazy?
Uh-huh.
Neat. Well, I'm sure those people at the nursing homes there appreciate you, Taylin, and your signs. And thank you for your time this afternoon, okay?
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Yep, you have a great day and be safe, okay?
Okay, you too.
Kennedy, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a nice day today, we're going to be dealing with some showers and thunderstorms tonight. This as the disturbance moves fairly quickly through the area. In its wake, skies will stay cloudy, but any showers will diminish tomorrow. The cold front will arrive Thursday with wind whip showers, and that's the pattern flipper, delivering some chilly air for Easter weekend and beyond. The call for this afternoon, sunshine mixing with clouds. There could be a stray shower or thunder shower in parts of northwest Pennsylvania before the afternoon is through. High temperatures 50s and low 60s, and cloudy tonight with showers and a few thunderstorms. Low temperatures 40s and near 50. Tomorrow, showers end early, rather cloudy, high temps 50s and low 60s. Thursday, cloudy, windy with showers, snowflakes mixing in western New York as temperatures fall through the 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally at noontime, a crowded church for a wedding might seem impossible these days, but not for a Michigan couple. They tied the knot over the weekend using cardboard cutouts as their guests. The groom did not want his bride walking down an empty aisle, so he turned to a packaging company for some help. They were able to make more than 100 cutouts of different sizes, different hairstyles. Those cardboard cutouts helped fill the pews for that special wedding. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us. Be safe out there, too. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.